Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
It's true, I am a professional at a lot of things. I get paid for several different things. Some a lot less than others, though. For instance, this podcast.
No.
I mean, we get a little money coming in off people shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab, and that goes right back out to pay for the website to keep it out there and all of the fees that go along with that and buying gear and equipment and all that other stuff. But, yeah, so go ahead and do a little more Amazon shopping. Halloween's coming.
Halloween is coming up.
Get your costumes, get your Halloween candy, actually, at Amazon. Go ahead and do that. All right, we were away for 2 weeks. Hello, Jason. Hello, Kareem.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
We are back. Why were we away for 2 weeks? Well, that's my fault. My wife has started her new job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing that we were sort of unaware of as my wife started her new job is what it would be like for the first little bit. Because she is going to be managing a facility that is not yet up and running. And it won't be up and running until December. So, for the next 10 weeks, I will be dropping my wife off at the airport either Sunday afternoon or very early on Monday and picking her up from the airport on Friday. So I have a wife on the weekends in town for the next 10 weeks. So last week when we found that out, I said, you know what? I would rather spend the evening hanging out with her because that's going to be limited. And then last week I was...
Neither one of us are doing for you what she is. So.
Exactly. No. And none of you listeners either.
Yeah. Maybe if you guys bought more from Amazon.
Maybe.
Damn.
Give me that tingly feeling. And then last week I was in Vermont dealing with some stuff with my dad and some things that had to be handled, which everybody has to at some point. They've got, I mean, you know, everybody's got parents. I mean, unless you're an orphan, you've got parents and you're probably dealing with something.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not parents, maybe it's kids, maybe it's a sibling. So it's just life.
And if your parents are over a certain age, they're your kids at this point.
A lot of that happens that way, too, except you can't necessarily put your foot down and say, no, you're going to do this because I said so.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, but it gets a little bit more complex. So a lot of changes happening. So that's why we were away for the past couple of weeks. Jason, I know we were talking before the show. You got to do an improv intensive.
Yeah. So there's this thing, that was started up, by Brian James O'Connell and Nick Armstrong. And these, two legendary, improvising guys in LA, writers are much more than just that.
More than just guys.
They're more than just improvisers.
They're dreamy.
But that's the way they were introduced to me. So they started this camp, with a handful of other people, called Camp Improv Utopia, which just used to be on the West Coast, in Cambria. And then it grew, and then they did a East Coast one, East in Pennsylvania, so it's not on the coast. And then they do one now in Yosemite. And this is in 8 years. That's how it's transformed so much because there's been so much of the demand for it. And it's about 100 people. They do workshops. Multiple workshops with people that are well known in the improv community, or maybe own their own theater and like have an expert, like, you know, something that makes them a little bit different or unique or something that they teach really well.
Sure.
And they come to the camp and teach that course over the weekend. One workshop usually, everybody kind of goes through 5 or 6 different workshops. This one in Yosemite is specific to one form of improv. So, if you're familiar with improv, this is going to be really boring for a few moments. I'll try not to make it last too long, but there's a form called the Herald,
sure is.
And the Herald is kind of the basic thing that outside of short form improv, which is like whose line is it anyway, the Herald is long form improv's kind of base game that they play, and it's a half hour long. There's an Armando, which is a little bit different. You interview somebody, and they do a bunch of random scenes. So there's a bunch of these different forms. And I had the opportunity to do an 11-hour course with Craig Kakowski, who is well-known in the improv community. He's been doing it for 30 years. Started in Second City, Improv what? Olympic.
Did you say something?
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's... I got to do that, and I learned a form called JTS Brown, which was really awesome. And I can't wait to apply that in everything I do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dirty bitch!
And it was
come
in Yosemite.
Down for Moose Soup
oh,
after.
God, it started.
Come down later for...
Okay. Fine. Like I said, we have issues with certain things.
And it was in Yosemite, and I got to meet a lot of new people. You know, there's like 100 people there. So I got to meet a bunch of new people, and I met this guy, Corey, and this guy, Chris, and we hit it off, and we, you know.
Had a threesome in the woods.
You know, we did not have sex in the tree.
Are you what caused the rock slides in Yosemite?
There was some heavy pounding.
Right.
Heavy. Now, my friend Lauren actually flew in, and, she stayed the night on Thursday night, and then we drove up on Friday, and yeah, it was fun. It was awesome. It was
good.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. So that's what I got to do this last weekend. It's so awesome.
Nice. Kareem, you were under the weather last week, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had the flu for, man. It started Monday, and I finally started to really feel better Friday, and, you know, so I kind of worked from home half the week and went to work. Went and looked at a couple of jobs and probably made some people sick.
You know what's funny? I landed in Vermont and it was 90 degrees for the first 3.5 days I was there.
Yes.
And then, no, 90 and humid. 90 plus and humid. And then a front went through, and the last couple days I was there, the high was not even 60 degrees.
What?
It went from 95 to a high of 58 with a breeze.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah,
like
mofos.
Overnight. It's the schizophrenic weather that is in the Northeast, which is why one of the reasons I don't live there anymore. So all that was done. All right. Before we get on to what happened in Las Vegas, and we'll talk a little bit about that. The president has made his way to Puerto Rico, and joked? I don't know. He had some stuff to say. Let's check it out.
Mick Mulvaney is here right there, and Mick is in charge of a thing called budget. Now, I hate to tell you, Puerto Rico, but you've thrown our budget a little out of whack.
You dicks! How dare you get in the way of that hurricane and throw our budget out of whack?
Because we've spent a lot of money on Puerto Rico, and that's fine. We've saved a lot of lives. If you look at the... every death is a horror, but if you look at a real catastrophe like Katrina, and you look at the tremendous hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that died, and you look at what happened here with really a storm that was just totally overpowering. Nobody's ever seen anything like this. And what is your death count as of this moment? 17?
16 certified.
16 people certified. 16 people versus in the thousands. You can be very proud of all of your people, all of our people working together.
I don't know what to say to that. Jason, do you have words?
This makes me so sad.
Kareem, anything?
White people, this is your fault.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you elect somebody that you relate to. I have some really highly intelligent friends, and I have some degenerate friends. None of them motherfuckers should be president.
Well, and who relates to this guy? I mean, I get the I could have a beer with George W. Bush. I don't get anybody actually relating to Donald Trump.
He says all the racist shit that they want to say.
Well, there's that, yeah.
That's what they relate to.
There is that. I don't recall him talking about Houston and Florida really affecting the budget. I mean, it just, he didn't, because they're, well, there are plenty of plenty of Hispanic and black people in both of those places. But there are also plenty of white people there.
Yes. White people that voted for him.
Yeah. Yeah. And
and the fact that he doesn't understand that they're in American territory, that's really what it leads to. He thinks that they're a third world country that we're just helping out. That's what he really thinks.
Right.
And he's too fucking stupid to understand that it's American territory. It's like you bought it. You broke it, you bought it. So you bought it, you own it. You need to fix the shit. Those are American citizens. And everything but voting rights.
Which is
while they're on the
thing.
Island.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason they don't have voting rights is because they'll vote Democratic. That's why the Republicans won't give them.
3.5 million American citizens.
Yes.
Live in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Now, after he had that little thing, he threw paper towels into an audience filled with reporters and people affected by Hurricane Maria. Shortly after telling the crowd to, quote, have a good time, the president visited a chapel and picked up solar lights, examined canned food, and then tossed some supplies into the audience, saying, and I quote again, there's a lot of love in this room, great crowd. Like doing basketball free throws, he was throwing paper towels to the crowd. Which is that to sop up the floodwaters? What is that for?
No, he's asking them to clean up after themselves right there at the facility.
I don't get it. But by the time you hear this show, he'll be in Las Vegas, so I really look forward to that. As everybody knows at this point, Sunday night, there was a mass shooting in Las Vegas that is of this recording has killed 59 people and injured more than 500. And, I'm not going to mention the name of the guy who did it because fuck him. He killed himself moments before the police stormed into his hotel suite because he had rigged up a camera in the hallway so he could see if anybody was coming. When he saw people were coming, he killed himself before he could be dealt with.
He bitched out.
He did.
They always do.
At this point, they're still trying to get some answers from his live-in companion, who was out of the country at that point. That's what we know. I believe she's in Tokyo at this point. She was in Tokyo, apparently, when it happened, and she's in the Philippines. So now they're trying to bring her back into the United States to talk to her about it. He had upwards of 40 weapons between his hotel room and his home. He had a huge stash of ammunition. His spraying of the crowd with bullets lasted almost 10 minutes. That's a huge amount of ammo. And at his house, he had some explosives and a few other things. Apparently he bought everything legally. That's kind of what we know right now. I've seen a lot of people say a lot of terrible things on social media over the past couple of days. On both sides, an executive for CBS was fired for saying that I don't recall her exact quote, so I'm going to paraphrase that, essentially, she didn't feel badly for the people who were shot because they were probably rednecks who voted for Donald Trump. Whether that's true or not, they didn't deserve to be gunned down in a parking lot. She was let go. By the way, she was a chief legal counsel, so she knew full well what she was doing. Anytime I've seen anybody on social media try to say, is now a time when we can have a conversation about a problem? It turns into the same thing. And it goes back to the same sick feeling I had when I found out about this Monday morning, which was, if you can gun down 20 small children in a mostly white suburban Connecticut school and nothing changes, this isn't going to change anything. if you can shoot a congressman practicing baseball, a Republican congressman, and Congress does nothing about the issue that this country has with guns, nothing's going to be done. That's honestly, that's just where we are. One of my friends was commenting on an article in the San Luis Obispo paper, and some woman had made the comment that frying pans are dangerous, and if he would have used frying pans to kill people, that liberals would want to be outlawing frying pans. And my friend replied to her saying that if he were throwing down several hundred frying pans a minute onto a crowd, then he'd be all for banning frying pans. And she said, well, you missed my point completely. And my reply to her was, no, he dismissed your point because it's fucking stupid. He didn't miss it. He dismissed it because it's not worthy of even considering as realistic. This is what we're talking about. And I see a lot of people, this is the go-to. Guns don't kill people, people kill people. To which I say something has to be done, and I think we can all agree. So, much like the dinosaurs, people, it's time for all of us to check out, because guns aren't the problem, we all are. So, Kareem, what do you think? Just end the human race right now? Call it a day?
Again, white people's problem.
It's not, though. It's everybody's Dude. Problem.
So, I said what you just said on this podcast.
You did.
Probably 3 years ago. I told you.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they didn't care about little white kids being killed means they don't give a fuck about any of us.
Nope.
And
bought and paid for.
Bought and paid for.
By the NRA.
Nobody's saying anything, and anybody that's stepping up to say anything is being ridiculed. Like, if it was a black guy or a terrorist,
absolutely,
that did this, we would be having a whole different conversation.
Of course.
We still wouldn't be having a gun control conversation, but we would be having a different conversation.
Right. When someone brought up on a different thread I was looking at, well, he could have done the same damage with a fertilizer bomb. And it's like, hey, asshole. Ever since Oklahoma City, there have been
very strict federal regulations
about what you can buy in terms of fertilizer.
Very strict regulation.
You have to give your name, your address. You have to have a reason.
You
to
have a
fertilizer.
License. You have to have a license in order to get it from the state. Every state, you have to have a license.
They have convinced that, and it's I can't. Liberals have their issues,
mm-hmm.
but they're not willfully ignorant.
Right.
These people are willfully ignorant. They don't want to know. And that's the problem.
You have
let a segment of the media pretty much go for, it's been 16 years now, just to tell you what you want to hear.
Or what will make you feel better.
What will make you feel better.
Or let you justify scapegoating. That every person who is a Muslim is the reason for your pain and suffering.
Everybody that's a brown person is the reason for your pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm. They're taking your jobs. They're
yes.
doing whatever.
Yeah. Or you shouldn't want to be smart. You shouldn't want to know. Like, no, you should want to know so you know what the fuck is going on. In the world, and the idea that you think that some guy like you, like Bush, that you want to have a beer with should be president. Like, the really crazy thing about this guy is that he's made George Bush look competent.
Right. Well, George Bush did serve as governor
yeah.
of Texas, so he at least had a modicum of experience running a government agency.
Yeah. And part of what happened to him was he got run over by people that had a different agenda than what he had.
Sure.
This guy doesn't have necessarily an agenda. And he's the same thing is happening to him, but he's too stupid to understand what's going on. And he doesn't want to know. he's in so far over his head, and I'm tired of fucking Republicans who act like they don't, who don't want to know. And then I'm tired of these fucking liberals who, these fucking Bernie bros who are talking about, see, like, are blaming Hillary Clinton for this motherfucker. Like, no, you stayed away from home. You stayed away and didn't vote because you were mad because you didn't get your person. You are responsible for the Republicans for us being stuck with this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear no more bullshit about, well, if Hillary had, like, no, the Democratic Party didn't lose this. Hillary didn't lose this. You chose to act like a little brats and go home with your toys and left us in the hands of this madman.
There were a lot of things that went into the election. There was the Russian interference, which included funding Jill Stein, who, by the way, in an abundance of states that were swing states, Hillary lost by less than the number of votes that Jill Stein got.
Yeah.
Jill Stein is very much in some sort of contact with the Russians in terms of financing and that.
Yeah.
You had the Russian interference. You had Jill Stein. You had angry people, like Kareem said, who stayed home.
Yeah.
And the other thing you had was you had a larger than normal turnout of
white racists.
Yeah. And not that there weren't good, decent people who thought that voting for Donald Trump might be a good idea because he wasn't business as usual. I'm not saying there weren't people like that.
Right.
But there was an abundance of people who
had checked out of the system and like that government doesn't work for me. Mm-mm. And like it did nothing applied to them.
Right. Absolutely. So there was a lot that went into it, but this is where we are. So there's a lot that goes into this, and we're gonna unpack a little bit more. Pat Robertson had a theory on the whole thing about why it happened. He's not gonna blame guns either. That's going to shock you, I know. What does Pat Robertson think the problem is?
Violence in the streets, ladies and gentlemen. Why is it happening? You know, what I'd like to give you is the fact that we have disrespect for authority. There is profound disrespect of our president all across this nation. They say terrible things about him. It's in the news. It's in other places. There's disrespect now for our national anthem, disrespect for our veterans, disrespect for the institutions of our government, disrespect for the court system, all the way up and down the line, disrespect. And when you lose that kind of respect, you lose this authority. But more than anything, until there is biblical authority, there has to be some controlling authority in our society. And there is none. And when there is no vision of God, the people say, there's no vision of God, the people run amok. When there's no vision of God, the people run amok. And that we have taken from the American people the vision of God, the whole idea of reward and punishment, an ultimate judge of all our actions. We've taken that away.
No, we haven't. No, we haven't. But, Kareem, it's your fault. You said terrible things about the president.
Somebody.
It's all your fault. Amongst other things.
This sounds like some revelation shit, though, but like that, like Donald Trump is fucking Satan. Like, I mean, that's like,
he's not, though. He's a lazy, ignorant racist.
I realize, but I mean, like the way that they talk about him, like.
Allegedly.
They need somebody to, like, he's pretty much suggesting that because you're not following Donald Trump, like, who's been, like, touched by God, like to be the one that leads us all that we should respect. Like
he's been touched, all
right. I mean, like that's what he's fucking trying to suggest right here. Like, sure,
that's what they do though. Every time they get a Republican, they say he's been touched by God. You brought a godless person.
Of all the people, Donald Trump is as far away from being a religious, forthright, honest man as we have had in the White House in generations.
And you, and this motherfucker right here and his cronies sat behind this guy and prayed with him like he was one of them.
Oh.
That means you have, Pat Robertson has no concept of God.
No, he can't even
follow his own religion. He has no concept of God. They have no, they worship the same God that Donald Trump worships.
Oh yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I believe me.
That's what they meant when they said Donald Trump was a man of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the man of their God. Yeah. He's the man of the God, their God of money.
I just can't, I don't, I just, it's so, I can't, it's just hard for me to, I just can't understand I can't understand how people can believe, like how people, like I just don't, like how people, like they have so many followers, like these people, like, and like so many people send them money. I mean, like, I just, it's like willful ignorance, you know, like
it's hiding behind God and saying that God is this, God wants that. And it's coming from the magic box. And so it's believed.
And you will not. Every day I marvel at how many people really don't want control of their lives.
Right. Exactly.
There are people that are handing over control of their life every day to people, things, because they don't want to make decisions. Shit's too hard.
Well, and the other thing is having conversations with the people that I've had conversations with over the past little bit. I've had conversations with people who go, I don't want anything from the government. I never took anything from the government. I didn't do anything from the government this, government that. And I'm like, I'm not going to let the government make decisions about my health care and how much they're going to pay for this test I need or that test I need. And I said, you do realize that right now those decisions are made by a private company. It's an insurance company, and their whole basis for being, their whole reason for existing, is to make a profit. And they're already making the decision about how much they're going to pay for your x-ray or your MRI or your hospital stay. It's already happening. But we can't have the government making those decisions or a single payer making those decisions. I would rather trust. This is without saying it. I would rather trust a for-profit insurance company to make this decision than the government, which has no desire or need to make a profit. I mean, who are you trusting your life with?
There's no need for an insurance company or a hospital to make money. There's no reason that they should be profitable. You know,
but that's what the whole basis of the business is at this point.
That's what the whole thing is.
We don't have as many as we did before because they've consolidated and gotten bigger. But these insurance companies make a lot of money.
Billions, right. Like billions of dollars. Like that is the biggest scam of like there's two levels between you and your hospital that you do not need.
And it also goes for how much you're paying for your prescriptions.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason why in the United States of America, we pay exponentially more for the exact same drugs that they do in Canada.
Or Mexico.
Or you Europe.
You can go to Mexico and buy my inhalers that I have to pay $25 a year for. I can go to Mexico and buy them for like $250.
Yeah, but it's just vaporized tequila if you do that.
No, it's not.
Ronald Reagan is responsible for all the problems in our country at this point in time.
Let's dig him up and kick him.
Well, it's actually the guys that were kind of controlling him, the Brown and Dick Cheney and those cronies. Those were the guys that were. Ronald Reagan wasn't. I mean, he didn't know. I mean, he knew, but he didn't.
He knew,
but he was.
No, he knew. Him and fucking Margaret Thatcher and the fucking whatchamacallit boys, the Chicago boys that wanted to make this ultra capitalist society. Mm. That's what we're dealing with.
Congratulations.
That is what
we've achieved it.
This is where we are. The opioid crisis goes back to the fucking Ronald Reagan and him wanting to make it so that you could advertise on TV what your drugs did.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to that. The fucking politics the fact now that we don't have equal airtime for everybody. Ronald Reagan. That goes back to that era. Back during that era, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but back when I was a kid, if Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were on, would have been on the news the same amount of time. There wouldn't have been Donald Trump was talked about 1,000 times to Hillary's one.
Well, and the real breakdown of that was because he controlled the narrative, he would say crazy shit about her. So everything about him would be what he was saying about her.
Yeah.
And then everything about her would just be her trying to defend herself.
Yep.
So it was always, she's terrible, she's terrible, she's terrible. And her going, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
And I mean, what's that going to sound like to the average person?
Yes. Mass incarceration. Started there.
Yeah.
Private prisons.
Private prisons. Started there.
Private prisons are not okay.
Yes. Richard Nixon had a drug policy, but Richard Nixon's drug policy wasn't a put you in jail drug policy.
Well, and to be fair, he put Elvis on his drug commission. Elvis was the world's
biggest addict. He was a rehab, but he had a rehab program.
Yeah.
All of the crazy people, all the homeless people that have mental illness,
they should be in
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan did that in California.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. That's where all this shit comes from. Yeah.
No,
Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, they were around with Nixon.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones that goaded Vietnam into happening.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they were the ones that helped him extended.
They didn't go to Vietnam was happening long before Nixon came in.
But we helped set up the meeting that happened.
So we could have got out of Vietnam in like 68.
Yeah. Sure.
And
before Nixon was elected.
And right. And he went to Vietnam before he was elected.
Yes.
And talked him into and screwed up the plan for us to be out.
Well, and the hostages in Iran probably would have been released anyway. But there was a deal brokered with Ronald Reagan that they were released basically on Inauguration Day.
Yeah, so fuck Ronald Reagan.
The one, if you want to find one sliver of good news out of this whole Las Vegas thing, one of the bands that was on stage before Jason Aldean posted about it, and their lead guitarist, Caleb Keeter, posted a long message and said, and I quote, "I've been a proponent of the Second Amendment my entire life until the events of last night. I cannot express how wrong I was. We actually have members of our crew with concealed handgun licenses and legal firearms on the bus. They were useless. We couldn't touch them for fear the police might think we were part of the massacre and shoot us. A small group or one man laid waste to a city with a dedicated, fearless police officers desperately trying to help because of access to an insane amount of firepower. Enough is enough. Writing my parents and the love of my life a goodbye last night and a living will because I felt like I wasn't going to live through the night was enough for me to realize that this is completely and totally out of hand. These rounds were powerful enough that my crew guys just standing in close proximity of a victim shot by this fucking coward received shrapnel wounds. We need gun control right now. My biggest regret is that I stubbornly didn't realize until my brothers on the road and myself were threatened by it. We are unbelievably fortunate to not be among the number of victims killed or seriously wounded by this maniac." Somebody finally fucking got it.
Exactly.
Somebody finally got it. And until more people get it, nonsense like this is going to keep happening. But that's one
shining moment.
One shining moment. So we'll take away from that. By the way, if you haven't seen it yet or heard it yet, go on YouTube. Jimmy Kimmel talked about it on his show Monday night. It's about 8.5 minutes long. It's too long to play here. Really powerful stuff. Weird. Jimmy Kimmel is now the the guy who used to host the Man Show. Girls jumping on trampolines is now the arbiter of common sense and kindness in America, with health care and public safety.
He's growing up. He's become a man.
Well, here's the thing, though. Even when he was hosting the Man Show, he probably would have been along a similar line. I mean, this doesn't just happen to you. Donald Trump didn't just happen to become who he is.
Yeah.
He's a dick. All right, moving forward. Kareem, you were right. I'm just going to say that. You were right. You're right about everything. We were wrong. It's all a conspiracy.
To look like they were run by the same black activists were actually the work of Russians. The accounts are part of the material being handed over to Congress for its investigation into Russia's meddling in the presidential election. The accounts, both called blacktivists, posted videos of police brutality against African Americans and wrote about injustice to African Americans. Take a look at the Facebook page. It says, "Watch another savage video of police brutality. We live under a system of racism, and police are directly letting us know how they feel and where we stand." Joining us is CNN senior media and politics reporter Dylan Byers. So these posts, they were all designed by the Russians to try to amplify racial tension in the U.S. Is that right?
That's right. The post coming from this social media campaign was designed, our sources tell us, by an account linked back to the Internet Research Agency, which has ties to the Kremlin. This campaign used both Facebook and Twitter to basically advance a message that would and posts and ads that would exploit the racial tensions that exist in this country, effectively as part of the larger Russian goal of undermining American democracy, sowing political discord, contributing to an atmosphere of partisanship and incivility. And they were doing this, Anderson, at a time during a campaign when race was sort of at the forefront, or at least one of the major issues going on in America at that time, still is today.
There were 360,000 likes, which is more than the verified Black Lives Matter account on Facebook.
Yeah.
59,000 more people liked that page. So, God damn it.
The Russians know you're racist to the point where they weaponized your racism against the country.
So I felt, I read this Reddit. I fell down a Reddit hole.
Oh, no.
Where they were talking about, there's actually this Russian guy that wrote a manifesto pretty much about how to gain control of the United States and how to cause the destruction of the United States. And pretty much everything that's been going on, right, the last 2 years is like exactly what that the playbook has to say as far as like sowing discord among the races, like, making everything fragile that's there and just creating dissonance, like completely throughout the society. And like, I don't know. I was just reading and I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, and like the guys were linking. That's the thing that's good about Reddit is you can link shit. Mm-hmm. So you can go to stuff and you can kind of verify that it's.
Well, as verifiable as Reddit gets.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you ended up finding some porn and beat off for a while. I know.
Yeah. I found this, really cool site.
Let me just say this. As host of the show, I have a request for everybody.
Yeah.
Stop being fucking racist.
Or just own up to the fact that you are, then we can move past it.
Right. Yeah. So we know what we're dealing with.
Yes.
Just go, you know what? I don't trust those Mexicans.
Yes.
Don't clip that part out, because I it's terrible. Know yourself. Know what you are and how you're dealing with stuff. And for the love of God, stop being so stupid and racist. Stop being ignorant.
Yes.
Stop being ignorant. All right, let's move on. Now, while police in Colorado continue to search for a jogger who's been pooping in front of homes, the folks at Charmin have made the Mad Pooper an offer. They tweeted, "If the hashtag Mad Pooper turns herself in, we'll give her a year's supply of TP to help with her runs."
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
The neighborhood has dubbed her the Mad Pooper. We've talked about her on the show. And the neighbors say she has been doing it at least once a week for the past 2 months. The mystery woman even did it in front of children. So anywho, I mean, I get it if it had happened once.
that's what this chick does.
That's her thing. I mean, I don't know if it's her kink or what it is or, you know, how anything goes on with it, but I was just, what is going on now?
Like, I go home to poop every day at work. I don't know how you're just doing it on somebody's lawn,
right? I mean,
because you're squatting, she probably like can like do like the squatty potty, do the thing like where you squat over the hole and it comes out like a poop chute. Like,
well, you know? I mean, she's a runner, so she knows. You know, she's probably one of those super thin runners and all of that. So you've got that going for you.
She might be vegan, so it probably comes out easier. Yeah. No, there's fats clogging it up.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's probably just like... Whoosh. It's probably not like a...
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Probably, it's probably more like a...
It's one of those things. All right. Sorry. So, yeah, I love when corporate accounts just go ahead and go, oh, well, you know what? It could be fine. All right. So I found this article, and it's an opinion piece titled, Dear White People, No, It Isn't Okay to Jump the Broom. Saying that jumping the broom isn't just another fun addition to your wedding ceremony. It's deeply rooted in African-American history, and we'd appreciate it if you treated it as such. Saying people of African descent are some of the most innovative humans on the planet. There isn't too much that we cannot do, and American, hell, global history proves it. Everyone knows this, and while media is committed to mostly portraying us in a negative light, whether it's by showcasing some of the poorest nations in Africa, or portraying African Americans as thugs and hoodlums, we have and will continue to do much more with less. Which brings me to my point of annoyance. Over the weekend, it was called to my attention that some white folks are starting to incorporate the very historic and extremely significant tradition of jumping the broom into their wedding ceremonies. It's both an insult to our culture and a slap in the face. Let me explain. It isn't shocking that some white folks feel it's okay to steal yet another tradition of ours. In fact, it's expected. After all, when you belong to a culture that has very little identity of its own, you've got to be a bit innovative when it comes to incorporating and creating your own traditions. What's fiercely irritating about this entire ordeal is that they appear to be jumping the broom with no regard for what it really means to African Americans. So, Kareem, I assume you know of this jumping the broom thing. This is the first I was hearing of it.
That's the really funny part about it is somebody else posted it. I posted it and somebody else said that they had never heard of it. And I'm not surprised because white people like black music, the part of black culture that they can see that's on display like every day, but they don't really know black people.
Right.
And so this is, and somebody tried to post, an article that's from,
Wikipedia
to say that it was a white thing.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
I've never heard of white people jumping the broom.
I've never heard of anybody doing it. So,
black people have been jumping the broom my whole life.
Okay.
So and actually there's a movie, that came out.
Perry's Jump the Broom?
No, it wasn't Tyler Perry. But there's a movie that came out probably like in the last five years ago called Jumping the Broom.
Okay.
And it talks about the ceremony and whatnot. And it was because black people slaves couldn't get married legally. And so that was their way of getting married to show that they were family. So, you know, you jump the broom and whoever lands first is the person that's supposed to be able to run the household.
okay.
That's what the thing is.
Sure.
But it's the fact that you, so for us, the significant is something that is rooted in the history of slavery and kind of a slap in the face to the master for not allowing people to be married, to be families. Because they, you know, he literally could sell a mother and her children.
Yeah.
Like whenever they felt like it.
Because slaves were property.
Right. And so, you know, the idea that you, oh, that looks cute. I want to add that to my wedding without.
But I mean, like, the thing, when I read this, right away, the first thing I noticed was that she had a misspelling right at the beginning. Like, that's the very first thing I saw that. And that kind of turned me off to the rest of the article.
Maybe they are angry about African.
No, I mean, like, that's the third, fourth word into it, right away.
That was mighty white of you.
I guess. And I listen, dude. No, because I want to be upset too. Like that's like
trust him. Yeah. He wants to be upset about this with you.
Yeah. But when I read that and I saw that and then I read the whole thing, it's like, and then I read the thing on Wikipedia and I realized that like I'm not going to throw any credence to that either necessarily, but I guess. If somebody saw it and was like, oh man, I saw that black wedding, I really want that at my wedding. Like,
you know, that's what happened. I don't even know why you're saying if somebody, well, I'm some saying, Becky but, saw it. That's, you know, that's what happened, man.
But I have to,
or some wedding planner heard about it. And go, oh, that would be a cute thing to add to their wedding.
Who knows how it came about? Who knows?
But again, another Becky.
Yeah, I know. So like, but
can't it be a Tanisha who has a profit motive?
No. No. Because Tanisha knows she would be kicked out of the family.
So, but I guess what I'm saying is like, the complete, it means to you what it means to you. And if somebody else, I get it. I understand. I don't know, man. I just don't. There's stuff like this that people get so upset about and get crazy angry about. Like now, this is something that I know, and I feel like now more white people are going to know about it and are going to incorporate it.
Well,
you know what I mean? Because that's the way. It's like it's spreading like that. Like
ditch fires.
I would have added it to my wedding. No, I would not have. Because we didn't do anything like that because that wasn't us. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like that's you do and, what you do at your family. You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly, like, and that's the whole point of the article. Yeah, like, yeah, that's
right.
Not you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the point of the article is, as I said and as Jason said, we don't know. So this lady is putting it out there, Chantel E. Jameson. Sorry, is putting it out there. This is not something that you should be co-opting as your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we know. Thank you. Where I had a small issue, and I get over it very quickly because who gives a shit, was she gets into the and you know what? I get it. You're pissed. Stuff gets co-opted, blah, blah, blah. The line, after all, when you belong to a culture that has very little identity of its own, that's her being as ignorant as people on the other side. Just because people don't do it the way you do it doesn't mean that there isn't a culture. When you're talking about white people, specifically of European descent, there are some cultural things that are done, but more of them are family traditions. So they're even more intimate as opposed to all black people do this. No, it's not all white people do this or all Scottish people do this. It's people in my family have been doing this for generations. So to assume that there's no culture there just because you can't see it is a bit insulting, but I'm over it.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
And that was my whole point. It's like, don't ask, and I understand the ledger is so far from equal, but if you go out there seeking equal treatment and understanding, and what you're really looking to do is throw kidney punches, virtual kidney punches on stuff, you're not going to get the best reaction all of the time. And she could, if you leave that line out of it, I'm 1,000% down with what she wrote. Because it's like, hey, you're taking something, you don't know what it means,
right.
Here's what it means to us. So when you do it, it's kind of a big deal to us.
Right.
and understand that. So if you do it with the understanding that it is insulting, and you better not have any black people there.
Yeah.
True.
Or if you do do it, you better have a really good explanation of why you're doing it.
Sure.
Yeah, people, oh, you don't know. My great grandmother was black. And
I did an ancestry.com thing, and you know, there was a whole thing, and yes. The whole thing like that. All right, so I'm looking forward to the 4th of July. Why? Because, well, parades, of course, and when Emmanuel Macron from France came to Washington last week or a couple weeks ago, Donald Trump had some parade talk for everybody.
We're going to have to start looking at that ourselves. So we're actually thinking about 4th of July, Pennsylvania Avenue, having a really great parade to show our military strength. You know, we're spending this year $700 billion, more than we've ever spent on the military, and which is a good thing to use with your friends, okay? And I think we really, we're looking forward to doing that. I'm speaking with General Kelly and with all of the people involved, and we'll see if we can do it this year, but we certainly will be beginning to do that. So,
No. That's what military despots and communists do.
He wants to be Kim Jong-un so bad.
Do you want to be does he want to be him or Brezhnev? Which one does he want to be?
He wants to be whoever everybody has to like.
Right? Because here are the countries that have done big military parades like that. Communist China, North Korea, the Soviet Union, yeah. And Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Those are the big, ones. There are some smaller ones that do it. But yeah, that is a strong man move. And being a strong man is okay if you're into bodybuilding. It's not okay if you're in the government. A big parade of the, and by the way, those roads aren't meant for big military vehicles, jackass.
Oh my God.
You're gonna tear up Pennsylvania Avenue with some half tracks going down the street? You idiot. Fucking idiot. That's right. I just called the President of the United States a fucking idiot. But there you are. I can only imagine. I was looking at
General Kelly,
the President of France, as he's saying this, and he's just got this look like, I cannot believe that this jackass is saying this out loud with a room full of reporters. Now, if he was saying that in a room with just the two of them going, man, you know what I would love to see?
No, even then it probably wouldn't be okay.
It wouldn't be okay.
No, there's part of when he was speaking at the UN, like where you can see General Kelly in the back, just like
sure,
just like rubbing his head and just like we're fucked. You can just tell that he's like I think that we'll either find out that he is like a horrible human being also, or we'll find out that General Kelly is actually the only one that saved the United States, really.
Greatest American hero.
Yeah, the greatest American hero.
Yeah, it's I don't put a lot of hope in that.
Oh, man.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy sex toy news.
Oh shit, back.
It's time for yes, that's right. It is time for sex toy news.
We need some of that today.
we certainly do. we certainly do. Let me get the music queued up here. Sorry for the technical slowness of things. You might have heard the soundboard doesn't work anymore. This is a follow-up. The cop, the veteran Ohio police officer admitted that he used a sex toy on two women during an illegal traffic stop. We reported it back in February. It happened on February 23rd when an ex-East Cleveland cop, Kenneth Bolton, stopped the women who were 22 and 23. A half hour after hearing over the police radio that another officer had sighted them, the 49-year-old pulled over the pair after spotting their car. He then used the toy, which was in the car, their car, to sexually assault them as they sat in the vehicle. Bolton, who'd been on the force for 16 years, was fired within 2 weeks of the traffic stop following an investigation. He copped to the charges of felony gross sexual imposition and interfering with civil rights, which is a misdemeanor, in exchange for dismissal of kidnapping charges. He will officially lose his license to be a police officer and must register as a sex offender. He's going to be officially sentenced coming up on October 16th.
Oh, that'll be a great birthday present to me.
There you go, Kareem. We follow up on news stories. Also, apparently America has an extremely disturbing sex toy problem. You weren't aware of that, were you?
No.
See, sex toys and the human desire to self-pleasure are ancient, dating back to the Ice Age's stone dildos. By the way, that was a great alternative band in the 80s, the Stone Dildos. Those led to the Victorian era ivory toys, which paved the way for today's silicone and plastic gadgets. Now today, sex toys are less taboo than ever in the U.S., and the market is growing fast. Nearly half of all men and over half of heterosexual women have used a sex toy. However, no one should assume that using sex toys in America is safe. Alarming unseen trends pervade the sex toy industry. That's according to Lisa Lawless, a Vermont psychotherapist and founder of the National Association for the Advancement of Science and Art and Sexuality. An advocate for body-safe toys in the U.S., she organized a study in 2014 to determine how clean and safe sex toys on the market actually are. What she found was a lapse in the product manufacturing that was disgusting. Saying, we went to several different retailers. We went to Amazon and other sites. By the way, if you're going to do that, click through the link, the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. They bought products. Found some of them had traces of lint that was from clothing. Some had bodily fluids on them. And some even had pubic hairs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That means the person that's using them is not cleaning them.
Or, well, you shouldn't, if they're new, they shouldn't have been used.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. Her discovery, part of the Safe Sexual Products campaign, points to a pervasive national problem. The $15 billion industry has some of the most unregulated safety standards at both the state and federal level. But when it comes to buying sex toys, the burden of determining whether companies are honest about toxic materials, harmful design flaws, and misleading packaging falls solely on the consumer. So buyer beware. The real reason that sex toys are so poorly regulated is their manufacturers take advantage of simple labeling loophole that categorizes the vast majority of sex toys as novelty items, which, unlike medical devices or foods, aren't subject to mandated testing. That allows them to skirt all medical regulations and freely sell untested products. So only one agency looks at them. It's the Consumer Product Safety Commission. That oversees the sale of sex toys but does not mandate any form of testing. The Food and Drug Administration has regulatory control over three specific vibrators, but only because they're classified as obstetrical and gynecological therapeutic medical devices. The rest of the market is a wild west for sex toys. Yeehaw!
And that's where they came from.
And no legislation is currently being proposed to address this problem. So, by the way.
Well, they come from hysteria.
Mm-hmm. So when you buy a vibrating dildo, you can only hope that it'll screw you in a way that you want.
That is right. You are being treated for hysteria.
By the way, so I would recommend, if you're getting a sex toy, either through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com or your local sex toy shop, that before you use it, go ahead and wash it. And if it's dishwasher safe, do that.
Yeah, do that for sure.
Wipe it down with one of them alcohol wipes. And if you're going to put it in you, put a condom on it.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like some expert advice.
That's right. I know my dildos.
That's good. It's good to know.
Because if you're going to... Come on. There we go. If you're going to put it in, put something on it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It is. There's my tip for you. Just the tip.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. We have another follow-up for you as well. A Colorado landlord was sentenced to 2 years in prison for sneaking into a married couple's apartment and having sex on their bed with another man. The encounter was captured by a surveillance system in the residence. His name is Carlos Calara. He's 40. He was sentenced on felony trespassing charge, which he pleaded guilty to in late July. In addition to prison time, an El Paso County judge ordered him to serve 2 years of parole upon release from custody. The conviction stems from a daytime tryst last November in the Colorado Springs home of newlyweds Logan Pierce and Michaela DiGiulio, who rented an apartment from him after answering a Craigslist ad. His encounter with another man was discovered thanks to a home security system. When they went in, they got notification on the phone. there was noise detected in the apartment. Can you imagine? You get a notification that there's noise in the apartment. You see two dudes banging on your bed. You'd be like, what?
No.
You'd be like, what's going on here? What the fuck is happening? So yeah, there you go. The video of the 6-minute tryst shows, the landlord and his partner, in disrobing and engaging in oral and anal sex. When finished, he wiped his genitals with the dress that the woman wore when she got married.
This is wrong.
That's like, they don't like them.
He was,
that's like, we don't like you shit.
He was also seen using a second garment to wipe a lubricant stain left on the bed sheet.
Wow.
Yeah. We talked about that on the show too. So, that's another follow up for you. So anywho. Wow.
That's one of those. She come home and sees stuff like, you've been cheating on me.
Oh God. We had Pat Robertson earlier. We can't wrap the show up without a little Jim Baker nonsense.
Ooh.
Here's a little Jim Baker nonsense for you.
I am so moved by our president asking for prayer. Laura and I have been to the White House, but we've been on the phone with the White House. We're on the president's mailing list, but the president is always asking for prayer, Rabbi.
How do you get on the president's... We're on the mailing list, motherfuckers. You're on the mailing list.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
And he's been... God has surrounded him with believers.
Yes.
Total believers.
Yes.
I mean, Billy Graham's daughter was there with us.
And Graham.
The head of the Assemblies of God.
George
Wood. I shouldn't have started naming names, but he's not a respecter of... preachers. he loves us all, and he loves prayer.
Yes.
And someday I'm going to reveal maybe some of the things he said about me. And it's shocking. Yes. But you know, the number one thing he said he liked about me, and the reason, you know, he watches me still, but he said he knew I had something happened in my life that knocked me down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got convicted of several felonies and went to prison for several years. You fucking huckster.
He said, but you know what I like about Jim Baker? He told one of my dear friends, he said he got back up.
Mm. Yeah.
He said, that's why.
He's ripping people off again. He got back up.
He got back up. And for a man to recognize that,
yeah,
everything God's ever spoken to me has come to pass.
Mm-hmm. It's true. That is so true.
Yeah, I mean, going
to jail. Jason, I'm going to need you to mumble some sort of weird agreement after stuff I say.
For sure.
Thank you.
And everything. You give minutes almost. I mean, your prophecies, and you're not your prophecy, but the word.
By the way, the weirdest, swarthiest looking motherfucker is who he's talking to.
Oh, he's swarthy.
Oh yeah, he's bearded, and he doesn't shave around the edges of the beard either. He just lets it all go.
It just all goes,
and that looks like a toupee too.
God's bride, they come. You give us to the minute, people.
Pretty amazing,
and that's why we're in warfare. Mm-hmm. This is, and what this book is going to reveal to you, the warfare that we are in.
That's the book he's selling to you, you gullible suckers.
Suckers.
And I'm telling you, Christians, don't give in to this stuff.
Come on.
We've let the world con us. The power of the media and television and motion pictures has just influenced.
You're on TV now, asshole.
Influence. And the standard of the Christian America, and they've threatened it, so we're afraid. I wanted to wear... my hat, cross hat on the show today. My wife wouldn't let me.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted your cross hat. You just said you were wearing a hat.
That's all I ever wear is my cross hat. But
you shouldn't wear a hat on TV. It makes it difficult to light, you jackass.
She said the rabbi's here. You got to dress neat for the rabbi.
Sorry, David.
Cross
is fine.
And you're talking
about. But I wear them out in public, and I know I could be shot. I know that.
I could be shot for wearing my cross hat in public. If you go to the wrong place, there's enough gun nuts, you can be shot for no reason at all, Jim Baker.
No reason at all.
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. It's time for Speak Out in Small Town News. I'm gonna get right to this before we hold on. I have to find the music here so that I make sure I'm ready for it. All right, I'm gonna fade this down. To our council members, if you're going to do your job, then do it. Don't start being selective as proposed by the Community Development Office, which most have never heard of until recently. For my tax dollar, I would keep the Recreation Department and do away with special events and Community Development Office. The Rec Department can handle those jobs with no problem.
That's pretty assumptive.
This is a plea to the city of Plattsburgh mayor, councilors, and the police chief. As residents of Eastgate, we witness far too often the speeders on Prospect Avenue. This occurrence has become an epidemic and is most prevalent between 7 and 9 a.m. and 3 to 5 p.m. Oh, so when people are going to and from work? No shit? I often watch as drivers disregard the light on the corner of Tom Miller and Prospect. The individuals often see residents try to access Prospect or back out of driveways, only to speed up to deny that access. With a nursing home and a hospital in proximity, it is often these employees who speed to their place of employment. As a concerned and often frustrated resident, I would suggest the city take action with either stepped-up patrols and or photo radar.
For those 25 people that speed by.
And finally, it's shameful for some people to put signs saying for Ben Stiller to leave the town of Dannemora. He's only trying to put the truth into what really happened on the prison break. You're making the good people of Dannemora look like they do not have any respect for other people. So does this mean that no one can come into your town because you don't approve of other people coming in? Should we get your permission first? Think about it.
Mic dropped.
By the way, Ben Stiller is directing and producing a Showtime limited series about the prison break in Dannemora that happened a little over a year ago.
But like on a real...
Yeah, it's a Hollywood production.
But I mean, but like, not like a comedy. It's going
to be... No,
like,
it's a real deal.
Yeah, it's really what happened.
Yeah. It's a real thing. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope we got a few laughs in there for you, along with our anger and gnashing of teeth and snarky bullshit, as we always do. Hope you liked it. We have another fresh show on Friday. We're gonna talk about... one of Kareem's cousins, who wants to launch satellites into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for the curve.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for the curve. We'll explain all of that on Friday's episode. But that's going to do it for us for now. Enjoy the rest of this Harry Styles song as though you have any other choice. Because it's a sign of the times, baby. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, and please support the show by shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
moose soup.
That was freaking crazy.
Come down for moose soup after. Dirty bitch.
Woo!
Son of a bitch. Ow, dirty son of a bitch.